There you are, back there. I can't see. Oh boy, you gotta put that intimidating thing. I love coming here. It's a blessing. It really is. I sure do appreciate the fact that you folks have me. Haven't figured out why, but nevertheless, I'm sure glad for it. And I was talking the other day with a guy that he plays the guitar and he plays the mandolin and some other things, and I told him, I said, you know, I said, I never really, I said, I know what a musician is. I'm not a musician. I have a little slice of the pie. I got a little bit. And so I'm grateful for that.
Thank God.
I'm coming in here tonight, and you guys have been having a meeting now for 3 days. And the last thing I want to do is mess everything up. I don't want to mess anything up. But I want to talk to you a little bit about Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I can't give you all of it. I can just give you a little slice. Okay? Just a little slice. Maybe it'll be a slice of onion. I don't know. Maybe it'll be a slice of tomato. Maybe it'll be a slice of something that, you know, maybe it'll have a sweet savor to it. Or maybe it'll be a nice piece of juicy meat. I don't know what. But it's over here in Hebrews chapter 1. I just started studying the book of Hebrews. I've read through it. I don't know how many times I've read through it. I've never studied it. I've always been afraid to study it. It gets in there pretty deep. And I'm starting to, I think maybe I'm starting to understand why. And because I grew up, I cut my teeth on topical preaching, okay? And which is good. It moves your heart and stirs you up. And you get the doctrines and this, that, and everything else. But the depth comes when you go line upon line,
yes, sir.
Precept upon precept,
yes, sir.
Here a little, there a little, you get into it, read of what is this verse saying,
right?
I'm just getting into that now.
Thank God.
Starting. Okay. So I just started in Hebrews, just started a few weeks ago. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. I don't know how many times I've read that passage, but to start studying it a little bit, that's a mouthful right there.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to try to give you a slice of the just a slice of that mouthful. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I'm grateful. Lord, just to say I'm grateful for the Word of God is an understatement in and of itself. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the words of God. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the purging. Thank you for the love of God. Thank you for the submission of the Son, willing to lay his life down for me and for all these here and for all those out there as well. Help us tonight, Lord. Help us to understand just a little bit about what the Word, we're supposed to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Help us learn to live according to what just this little passage here tonight. Father, I'm asking these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So because I'm just learning this, I got all these notes here, okay? So if I have to, if I'm not making eye contact, don't grade me on that, please, okay? This ain't speech class. I'm sorry, this aren't speech class. The author explains to the reader that in times past, God has spoken to his people by the prophets, okay? The prophets of the Old Testament. Those prophets would have been tellers forth of the will of God for their lives, right? And also foretellers of things that they need to be looking for the future. In other words, they were able to foretell future events in Israel's timeline. But then our text tells us that in these last days, and by the way, those last days began when? I would say at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, or at the resurrection of Jesus Christ, or at the earthly ministry of Jesus. I mean, I'm not gonna split hairs over that whole thing, because you could sort of look at it as a nutshell.
Yeah, right.
And just let it grow from there, yeah. And you're going to be in the ballpark. The text here tells us that in these last days, which have been for the last 2,000 years, we're still in them, by the way, he's spoken to us by his Son, with a capital S. That's Jesus, the Christ,
yeah.
Right? And that he's appointed Jesus to be heir of all things. Heir. You say, preacher, you didn't come all the way down here just to tell us. We already know this stuff. Let me go a little bit here. He's appointed heir of all things. And not only is he the heir of all things, according to the passage here, he's also the creator of all things.
Amen.
He's not only the creator of all things, he's the very brightness of the glory of God. If you can imagine what the glory of God is, I'm still trying to figure out exactly what the glory of God is. I mean, I'm not a Pentecostal, charismatic, Chicana glory. You know, I'm not one of those, but the glory, there has to be a brightness to his glory. And whatever that is, it's Jesus.
Amen.
Is that sound enough for you?
Amen.
And he's the very brightness of the glory of God. And not only is he all those things, he's also the express image. Or the very image, the identical image of God.
Amen.
For you and me. For us.
Amen.
All right? This same Son, Jesus, I mean, I'm just going through the passage here. Okay? He sustains all the mass and all the energy of the universe and whatever is beyond that. I used to like that song when I was a little kid. He's got the whole world in his hands. Somebody was really thinking small. Somebody's got a little pea brain there. Got the whole world in his hands. He formed the universe with his hands. He was outside the universe when he did it. So I don't know what's out there. But he's got everything. He made all the mass, all the energy. And he sustains it.
Amen.
I mean, y'all realize we're spinning around 1,000 miles an hour, right?
Yeah.
And we're going around like this, and I don't know how fast that is, going around the sun, and whatever the sun is doing somewhere in some spoke of the Milky Way galaxy, and it's unfathomable.
Right.
You will not reconcile the infiniteness of God with the finiteness of our minds. We can't do it. He's the express image, the very image. And he sustains the mass and the energy of the universe and whatever's outside the universe. And the person, Jesus Christ, he's not only this. This did a number on me. He's not only forgiven my sins. He's purged me of my sins. I mean, he could forgive me of my sins and they could still all be all in there like a quagmire. Right? But not only did he forgive me of my sins, and I'm trying to think of, I mean, some of you've purged things. You've maybe primed some pumps or back flushed something and had to purge the system. And I'm sure there's people here, if there's farmers here, you've had to purge something. You clean it out, right? Purged. You have the input and you have the output. Influent, you have the influent and you have the effluent. And the influent is pure purging, word of God, blood of Christ, going in there purging out my sins. Okay? Doesn't exactly make me sinless. I'm not sinless and I'm not saying that I'm sinless. I'm just saying, praise God, my sins are gone. Right? Go to bed. I'm saying there's a difference. To have them purged, to have them flushed out. And then after he did all that, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. Sat down. He's there. The right hand of the Father. The majesty on high. I've been here before. And I probably bring it up. Maybe I haven't. I think I've brought it up just about every time I'm here. Do you know where you and I are in God's eyes? Do you know where, I mean, you and I, we're looking at us and we're right here in Black Creek, New York, where it says, welcome to Black Creek on both sides of the sign. That's where we are. Road apples out there in the road and everything else. Right? You got to love it. I mean, you got to love it. How could you not love? We must have seen 20, 30, 40, I don't know how. We couldn't even count the deer on the way down here. It's wonderful. But you know where we are from God's perspective? Over in Ephesians chapter 2, you don't have to turn there, but somewhere around verse 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there, it says that we're seated in Christ. In heavenly places.
Yeah, that's right.
Where is he? He's seated on the right of the majesty on high, and I'm in him with my sins purged. That'll help you if you're depressed. I'm not saying it's the cure, because I realize there's people that are just a little unbalanced. Sometimes I think I'm a little unbalanced myself. Seated at the right hand of the Father. Amen. It's just a little slice of Jesus, that's all. I don't know what's going on. I wish I could be here. I wish I could be here for your meetings. I wish I could be here for all of Jack Britt's meetings. I wish I could be here for all everybody's meetings. I can't do it. With all that in mind, all those things I just mentioned to you, the author goes on to tell us all those things that Jesus is, that the person of Christ is better than the angels. I never scratched my head over that until just a few weeks ago. Why bring that up? If he's sustaining the entire universe by the word of his power, and he's seated on the right hand of the majesty on high, and I'm in him, why bring the angels into the whole thing? Why is the author going through these painstaking efforts to explain what these Jewish believers, the book is called the Book of Hebrews. Man, this thing's like biting right into my ear. That would probably fall off. The author is writing the letter to a group of devout Jews that have become followers of Jesus. And he's taking painstaking efforts to explain why what these Jewish believers have with Jesus is better than what they had. Amen. It's better than what they had when they were Judaizers, okay? He's writing this letter to a group of devout Jews who've become followers of Jesus Christ. And now he's explaining why what they're doing now is better than what they had. And it's like, what? But he's still going. I mean, he's like really, he's really dicing it up pretty fine for them here. They believe that Jesus is the long-awaited Jewish Messiah, but their newfound faith in Jesus has come with a cost. There's a cost now. My understanding is when Christianity first came on the scene in those earliest days, that first century, that it was seen primarily as another sect, at least from the Romans' perspective. It was seen as another sect of Judaism.
That's right, yes, sir.
Okay, do I have that right?
Yes, sir.
I'm hoping I have that right. I read it somewhere, so therefore it must be true, right? If you read it in a book or if you get it online, it must be true. Right? And I mean, I had to tell my congregation, I said, I did study this. And I do believe that what I am telling you is true, but I don't exactly know how to verify if it's true or not. But your pastor said it's so therefore, I'm doing okay. I'm saying when it was seen as another sect within Judaism, but as they as it came on, it became seen as something distinct from Judaism. Okay, now there's a problem with the Jewish believers because under Judaism in the Roman Empire, there was like you had this special allowance, a special decree from Caesar. That as Jews, you don't have to bow down to all these other statues because you believe in one God and one God only. Okay? But now we got this other sect here. And now they're not following after Judaism, they're following after Christ. So now they no longer fall into that category. So we're taking that exemption away from these Christian believers.
They did, yes, sir.
Is that true?
Yes, sir.
You got it?
No.
All right. I'm right on target. So now they're getting pressure from the Roman authorities that they got to start bowing down to these other, you know, these pagan gods. And they don't want to do that because they still realize that they are still following the law, but they realize it's not the law that saves them. And it's not the sacrifices of the law, but it's the blood of Christ. So they're getting pressure. They're also getting pressure from the traditional Jewish faith that they left behind because they're going in this other direction. They're no longer following Judaism. So they're between a rock and a hard place. Caught in the middle. The Jews they used to be a part of viewed them as apostates. The Roman authorities are beginning to view them as insurrectionists. So this author, I think the author is Paul. That's just my personal opinion. But he doesn't claim authorship. And nobody said that Paul wrote it. So you just have to sort of take a shot in the dark. Maybe it was, maybe it wasn't. I think maybe it was. But please don't hold a gun to my head. I'll deny it. They're getting pressure. And the Roman authorities are beginning to view them as insurrectionists for failing to worship the Roman gods. So the important point of the whole thing is that many of the Hebrew Christians are considering going back to Judaism to a degree so that they can fall back under that exemption that they had. And so the writer, the author, is telling them, listen, what you have is far superior to what you had. And whatever the ramifications of that are, so he's going through these painstaking things. All those things that I just read to you about who Jesus is. And then he goes into how Jesus is better than the angels, okay? So now listen, now these Christians, these Hebrew believers, they're not thinking about giving up on God. They're just trying to figure out how to work through this issue. How are we going to work through this thing and survive? And so the author is seeing all this, and he's taking on the burden of showing these Jesus-believing Jews that what they've gained in Jesus is far greater than what they've ever had. And let me just say this. If you've got Jesus, you are so far ahead.
Amen.
You are so far ahead. It's unfathomable.
Right.
It's out of this world.
Yeah.
It's out of this universe.
Oh, that's right,
and whatever's beyond. Mm-hmm. By the way, when you're maybe you're trying to witness to somebody and you want to talk about the deity of Jesus Christ and you're trying to prove to them the deity of Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 1 is a great place to go because all these things that it says right there in Hebrews chapter 1. It's a great place to demonstrate the deity. So with all this in mind, okay, the angels. We're going to the angels here. The angels are servants of the Lord. What time am I supposed to be done, by the way? 8 o'clock?
That's fine. Whenever you're done, you're done.
Well, I sort of, well.
Yeah.
What time
you know,
have you been?
People think around 8 o'clock. You know,
is there another preacher after me? Is there somebody else going after me?
No.
Okay.
You're wrapping it up.
I'm wrapping up like a deep fried Tuesday, you know, Taco Tuesday taco. I'm going to wrap it up. The angels are servants of the Lord, okay? And angels have played a tremendous role in the work of the Lord. And the writer of Hebrews is speaking of them as ministering spirits, if you look down at verse 14, okay? And I won't take the time to read that. You can read it while I'm talking to you, okay? They're ministering spirits. The law, if you understand this, the law was given through the angels, okay? Galatians chapter 3, verse 19, and also Acts chapter 7. Can somebody read Acts chapter 7 real quick, just so you don't think I'm lying? Verse 53. Acts 7:53. Somebody else have Galatians 3, verse 19? Somebody?
Who got it?
Anybody?
Acts 7:53, who received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it.
Amen.
Okay, we've received. Sorry, buddy. He didn't have his rear view mirror. He didn't see it. Okay, go ahead.
Acts. Brethren, I speak after the manner of men, though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man
Yeah, Galatians 3:19. Yeah.
3:19. Oh, 19. The seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a meditator.
Hallelujah. Good. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. Wonderful job. Okay. So two different scriptures right there telling us that the law was given, the law was ordained by the angels. It was given to us by the angels. Okay. By the way, the birth of Christ was announced by angels, okay? It was announced to Zacharias over in Luke chapter 1. It was announced to Mary by angels over also in Luke chapter 1. It was given to Mary's husband-to-be, Joseph, over in Matthew chapter 1. And it was also given to the shepherds in Luke chapter 2, okay? I'm saying the announcement of Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, came through the mouths of angels. The ministry of Christ was strengthened by the angels when he was tempted in the wilderness. That was the very beginning of his ministry. Do you know when else he was tempted? He was ministered to one other time by angels in his ministry. When was that? In the garden, exactly, in the garden. So the very beginning of his ministry, he was ministered to by angels. The very end of his ministry, the night before he was crucified, he was ministered to by angels. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was declared by the angels at the empty tomb there in Luke chapter 24. The second coming of Christ was declared by angels over in Acts chapter 10. The apostles were helped in their ministry by the angels, okay? Over in Acts chapter 5, it was an angel that opened the prison doors. And believers today, you and I, have the promise of angels being ministering spirits to us. We just mentioned that in verse 14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who are the heirs of salvation? We got some ministering spirits.
Amen.
Guardian angels.
I like it.
They're not little cupids with little fat bellies, bows and arrows and wings and all that kind of thing. They're ministering spirits that can burn down cities if they want to.
Yep.
Over in Psalm verse 34, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. You got some angels working for you.
That's right.
Isn't that a blessing?
Sure.
You also got some angels working against you.
Oh, yes, sir.
Amen.
But if the Jews gave their attention to the law that was given through angels, then how much greater should their attention be given to Jesus Christ and his teaching? Why? Because he's greater than the angels.
That's right.
The guy just summed up the entire Old Testament and the present day believers, the heirs of salvation, and said the angels ordained this whole thing, but now you have somebody that's even better than that.
Amen.
Don't go back. It would be taking a step back. Jesus Christ was the Son of God, capital S, okay, the Son, whereas the angels are servants. It says that to us in verses 5 through 9 here in Hebrews. Jesus is the creator. We just read that, where the angels are creatures here in verses 10 through 12. Jesus has sovereign kingly authority as deity, okay, whereas the angels are subjects in verse 13 and verse 14, sent to minister to us, believers, okay? Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says we're going to judge angels.
That's right.
That's a wild thing. The millennium is going to be interesting.
Yeah.
You don't want to start at Jesus 101. In the millennium, knowing that you're going to be, you should be at the place where you're ready to judge angels.
Amen.
That's, and hopefully it won't take you 1,000 years to get there. Right?
Yeah,
right. It's like, how long does it take to get through college? Well, it took me 1,000 years. Well, we're all done with that now. The angels are judged. You missed it. Get to know Jesus now. Get to know him now. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. It's how it's done. That's why you meet as often as you do. You can't possibly absorb everything. You cannot absorb everything that you get from every meeting, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday, Thursday, Monday through Wednesday, Thursday, whatever. You can't absorb all that, but you can get here, a little here, a little there, line upon line, and you just keep coming, and you just keep getting fed, and you just keep taking in what you can take in. And, yeah. So our hearts are They rejoice in Jesus Christ because he's the greatest according to this, okay? Not Cassius Clay. I knew something was up with that. I mean, I was a kid. I was like 8 or 9 years old when he fought Sonny Liston, and I heard him say, "I am the greatest. I'm a bad man." It's like something was just wrong as to a 9 year old. That's wrong. You just say you're the greatest. I'm saying when you come to know Jesus Christ, you become acquainted with the greatest, and you cannot go any higher. Stop looking. Stop wondering. Take the guesswork out of it. There is no greater. There is no higher. And you're the next best thing, if I could say that. Don't throw your hymn books at me.
Come on.
But if you're going to be judging angels,
that's right. Come on.
And we're heirs of salvation. That's what I'm trying to say. To go lower would be to choose something inferior. Jesus Christ is being greater than the angels based on the scriptures, okay? The writer of Hebrews presents to us 7 quotations from the Old Testament to prove the superiority of Jesus Christ to the angels, okay? Now, I'm just going to try to go through this real quick. He's greater than the angels because he's the Son, okay? And we saw that, and we just read that, okay? In Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, "I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee." Hebrews, the author of Hebrews, just basically quoted from there.
Amen.
When we read this. And it's a particular son, okay? Angels are called the sons of God. You and I are called sons of God, whether you're male or female. If you're female, you're just a female gender of the sons of God. That's all, okay? Paul speaks of it in relation to the resurrection of Jesus Christ over in Acts chapter 13. He says this, "God hath fulfilled the same unto us, their children, in that he hath raised up Jesus again, as it is also written in the second Psalm, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee." All right? So the resurrection declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not only is Christ God's Son, but the attributes that have been given to Christ have never been given to angels or an angel. Jesus Christ is the I Am. There are no other angels that are the I Ams unless they're a theophany or a Christophany. And it's another one I'm not going to argue about. Because Jesus Christ is God. So how are you going to argue that? Who was that angel in the flaming bush? Well, it was a theophany. No, it wasn't. It was a Christophany. Good luck. Good luck with that argument. Who's that? Tell him I Am sent you.
Yeah.
I Am. Tell him I Am sent you. And Jesus said, before Abraham was, I Am. So who was it in the bush? I'm saying he's greater than the angels because he's the firstborn. He's the firstborn to be worshipped. And we saw that in verse 6 here of Hebrews chapter 1. And also over in Psalm 89, it says this, "Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth." Higher than the kings of the earth. Firstborn, it doesn't mean the one that was born first. Doesn't mean that. It means the one that receives the inheritance.
Amen.
That firstborn. That's what's being talked about. Gets the special blessing. It's a title and it's a rank and it's a rank of honor. He's the firstborn of every creature. And thus he's also worshipped. And it tells us that over in Colossians verse chapter 1. But we're not going to go there, okay? He's the firstborn from the dead. Thus he's never going to die again, okay? The angels are to worship him. And no one is to be worshipped but God.
Amen.
It also says that in verse 6. Again, verse 6. "And again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world and saith, Let all the angels of God worship him." The angels are going to worship him. Of course, you and I ought to. He's greater than the angels because he's the master of the angels. And it says that in verse 7. Of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire? And it's like, it's he that does that, okay? Who makes them that? Jesus makes them that. And over in Psalm 104, verse 4, it says the same thing. Who maketh his angels spirits, his ministers a flaming fire? It's God that does that. It's Jesus that does that. I mean, do you have Jesus tonight?
Come on.
The angels serve the Lord while he was here on earth, and they serve him and they serve his people today. They're serving you. And he's greater than the angels because he's the everlasting king. Take a look at verse 8 and 9. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. You got to go to a different Bible somewhere. You got to go to a different translation to get a different meaning than Jesus Christ the Son is God.
Yes.
And it says so.
Amen.
Which people do. I mean, it's just like they don't like it. They just, these guys came up with their copy. We'll come up with ours. And there'll be enough people out there that'll believe it.
That's right.
Don't fall for that. Don't fall for it.
That's right. Right.
I'm saying he's greater than the angels because he's the creator. We mentioned that already. The earth was created by Jesus, and all things are his creation. We see that over in John chapter 1. All things were made by him, without him was not anything made that was made. The angels are his creations. The angels didn't found the earth. One day Jesus is going to do away with the only creation and bring in a new creation. The angels can't do that. He'll always remain the same. I'm saying that Jesus Christ is higher than the angels, and the angels are the ones that gave us basically the Old Testament, according to what we read there.
That's right. Sure is.
So it's superior. He's greater than the angels because he's sovereign. Psalm 110 says, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. And Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven.
Praise God.
In verse 14 here in Hebrews, the angels are serving him around the throne, and the angels are also serving those who are his saints, okay? And listen, I don't know where to get off. Jesus Christ has come that you might have life and you might have life more abundantly.
Good.
The thief has come but to steal, kill, and destroy. We're instructed. I think maybe, I don't know how much people process who you are in Christ. I will say this. You're not a pawn.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
You're not a plaything.
That's good.
You're not something that's like, well, God wants this, but the devil wants this, and whoever fights the hardest is where I'm going to end up. It doesn't work that way.
No, sir.
You're instructed not to give place to the devil.
That's right.
Don't do that. It's on you.
That's right.
Amen.
So it's like, but wait a minute now. Who was that written to? That was written to believers.
That's right.
Not written to unbelievers.
That's right.
So believers have the capacity to go in the wrong direction.
Uh-oh.
While the ministering spirits are over here going, we're here. We really want to help you out. We want to really make your way a whole lot easier for you. But you're leaning in that direction, and when you're doing, you're giving authority to the spirits that had their authority taken away.
That's right.
Don't do that.
That's right.
Right? Give not place to the devil, lest Satan should get an advantage of it.
Come on.
Right?
That's right.
He gets an advantage. He gets the authority. And now, that's why I feel like a pawn. I feel helpless. Don't yield to that.
Uh-huh.
Who does God say you are? Where does God say you are?
That's right.
You're seated in the heavenlies. You're seated in the heavenlies. You're seated in the heavenlies.
Glory to
God. Amen.
In Christ Jesus. And he's in you. And the Holy Ghost has sealed you unto the day of redemption. I'm so saved, it's ridiculous.
I got
suspended from school in first grade. I did. I couldn't come back until my dad had to go in and meet with the principal. I couldn't get back in. From second grade through sixth grade, I was separated. It only took a matter of weeks. Every year, this year I'm going to do it. I'm going to stay with the class this year. I got thrown out of every class. I mean, I separated. Jim's over there in the corner. I got thrown out of Boy Scout camp. I got thrown out of the church that I'm pastoring now, but I was definitely, told that I could not become a member, even though I was saved and baptized. There was something else I got thrown out of, and I was just thinking about it today. There was a whole bunch of things. But I'm not going to get thrown out of heaven. I'm not going to get thrown out of the millennium. I'm not going to get thrown out of Christ because I'm sealed under the day of redemption. And if it was up to me, I would get thrown out. Even when I didn't want to get thrown out, I'd get thrown out. I mean, I really tried not to get thrown out of stuff. I just couldn't do it. I couldn't. Jesus Christ is greater than all those things. I hope you have Jesus Christ. Where am I? I just pulled a Tim McVeigh. Now I got all lost. In my notes. I don't even know where to pick it up. I don't have any idea.
I don't ever read.
Give me a minute. Let me just figure something out here. Yeah. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins. Through the redemption of Jesus Christ, we've got a fountain of cleansing from all our sins. We can be made whole, washed white in his blood, white as snow. By him, by them who heard him, that's the angels and the prophets, over in 1 John, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye may have fellowship with us, as truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That's in 1 John. Do you realize that what John was saying is that he wants you and you and you and you and every person here to have, you remember John was the one that had laid his head on Jesus' breast?
Amen.
He wants you, and he's telling you, I want you to have that relationship as though your head, that you were able to hear the heartbeat of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Based on what we've said, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, we declare that unto you. I don't have any idea what time I'm supposed to be done, and your preacher won't give me an honest answer. I mentioned to you that Jesus Christ is greater than the angels based on his sovereignty, and that's in Hebrews chapter 2, okay? And when I'm saying sovereignty, I'm not talking like I'm not talking like a Calvinist Reformed person, okay? I'm not doing that. It means that Jesus is above, he's superior to all others, he's chief, he's the greatest, he's supreme, okay? That's what I mean. And when I think of Jesus, I think of grace. And when I think of the sovereignty of God, I think that if God is truly sovereign, then he can allow you to make the choice of whether you want him or not.
That's exactly
because
right.
He's the boss.
That's right.
I'm the boss.
That's good.
If I want you saved, I can force you to be saved, but I don't want to force you to be saved because I want something real. I want a real, genuine relationship.
Yeah.
So I'm leaving it on you, and I'm leaving it on you, and I'm leaving it on you.
I like it.
And I died for all of you, but I'm leaving it on you. I'm sovereign, and I can do that, and I don't care what Calvin says. And the angels don't hold place of that authority. Jesus does, okay? He's God's son. He's the creator. He's the sustainer. He's the redeemer. He's the king. And he's above all this, all the humanity. And everything is subject to God Almighty. Amen? To Jesus Christ. The angels don't have human hands that could be pierced. They don't have human feet that can be nailed to a cross. I don't know if you ever thought about this. I just mentioned it Sunday morning. We got this guy up in Buffalo. They sentenced him to life in prison without parole. Big mistake. Be merciful to him. Be merciful to the taxpayers. Be merciful to the people that lost their loved ones. And kill the bum. He does not value God's creation. He does not value human life. Therefore, he forfeits his right to life. He forfeits it. And they're turning him over to the U.S. Marshals, and he's supposed to go, and he's supposed to face the... He's already admitted he's done it, and maybe a federal judge can sentence him to death. But in New York State, they won't do it. But can you imagine? They probably don't have these... When he's being walked to his execution, if he goes, okay, and I hope he does, they're probably not going to have Pee Wee Herman on one side and Barney Fife on the other with his one bullet, right? They're probably not going to have those two guys walking this guy to his death. They're probably going to have a couple of bruisers that know how to take care of business. So in the event this guy starts to squirm and kick and scream, they're going to have guys like that lead him to his execution. And I'm saying all that to say this. I think when Jesus Christ, when they took that cross off of him because he wasn't able to bear it anymore, and they gave it to Simon, that they had a guy on each side of Jesus Christ walking him to his execution. And I don't think one was Pee Wee Herman and the other Barney Fife. I don't think so. I think they were trained Roman soldier killers that knew how to take care of business in case anybody acted up. And he got up to that place called Golgotha. And he did what no angels could do. And he looked at those two guys, and he looked him straight in the face of those black, his coal eyes of his. And he said, "Back off." And I think they backed off. And then I think he laid down, and it's like, which one you want first? And he laid it down. There's not an angel in heaven that ever did that for you. And he laid his other hand down. Go ahead. And he put his feet. Is this where you want my feet? And there's no... And the guards just stood there. Truly, this is the Son of God. This is the Son. They knew it. They knew it. I'm saying, I'm asking, do you have Jesus? If you got him, don't seek for anything else. Learn to live by the Word of God. Learn to trust the Word of God. Okay? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now listen, I'm not a 1, 2, 3 repeat after me guy. I'm not that at all. I do believe that John 3:16 is the gospel in a nutshell. But you got to crack the nut open and show them. I mean, it's Jesus Christ saying the words.
Amen.
I didn't come into the world to condemn the world. I came to save the world.
That's right.
I mean, you don't have to. I don't know how much effort you really have to put in. I believe in repentance. I don't get me wrong. But 3,000 people got saved when Peter got up and preached that day. And they got baptized and the Lord added them to the church.
That's right.
It's not rocket science. You don't have to go through spiritual contortions and acrobatics to get. I don't know if I.
That's right.
Jesus didn't come here to condemn you. He came here to save you.
That's right. Amen.
Lord, would you just save me? Because save me from myself. Because if it's up to me, I'll just get myself thrown out. And I don't know how else to come to you, but I'm going to come that way. And I'm just thankful that it's not up to me. And it's not up to my thoughts. And it's not up to my emotions. You did it. And the Holy Ghost of God sealed me. He wants to save people. Are you saved?
Come on.
Are you saved? Because if you are, you're sealed. It's irreversible. Dangle me over hell with rotted fishing line and 2 5-gallon cans of gas, and I ain't going.
That's what I'm saying.
You can dangle, you can shake it. I'm not going.
Praise God.
And it's not because of me. Whether I think I'm saved, whether I have my moments of doubt, it doesn't. I'm in. I'm in. Are you saved?
Yes.
You understand that he laid his life down for you. He didn't lay his life down for the angels. He laid his life down for you. Okay? If you don't know Jesus, if you've never asked him to save you, let tonight be the night. Amen?
Right, brother.
Preacher, you give the invitation. Can I have some of this?
You go right ahead.
Did you change it after, brother? It doesn't matter.